Listening to Advice Live with Roy Masters. Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
Well, here we are talking about good and evil, and we lost our and crony science of, you know, the world rising, worrying about the effect of carbon dioxide on the planet. A global warming, they call it. The world has been getting hot and cold for billions of years. Millions, billions, it's got to be billions of years. And we're still here, and everything is better as a result of it. Because the only thing that isn't better is you. Because the problem with you, you with a face, if you got one, is that you think you have what you haven't. Or you know that you don't have it, but you can't find it. And this program, this person, has found what you need to find. And I've survived every kind of slings and arrows of outrageous fortune and sickness and suffering and problems with my wife. And she suffered from that, from not being resentful towards me. The reason for that, just to give you a quickie, is that she comes from a terrible, horrible family. And unconsciously transferred the anger towards her father, towards me, but she didn't see that. And I'm trying to find the words. Sometimes I miss a word here. And codependence. Codependence is a form of slavery, where you fall in love with a person. I didn't fall in love. I didn't, not quite, she did. But she saw it as a way out, as somebody that really did care. I do care for her. We've married 63 years. And she's lost her memory. And but now she's beginning to wake up. For the last week, it's been absolutely remarkable. She's beginning to wake up from a long sleep. And I had to be there for that, to wake up. I remember a person who had a terrible accident. I remember, never forgot little things like this. I don't remember where I heard it. I know it was on the news. A person had been sort of in a coma for 30, 40 years. I don't remember exactly. I only remember what. But the mother decided not to let him die, but to take care of him in the hope that he one day wake up, which is what my situation was, in a manner of speaking, that I had a very bright young lady, but she was, it was a surface thing, see. It was a love-hate thing. And eventually, you know, the hate got the better of the love. Because when you love and then it becomes codependent, therefore it's not a real love, you become a slave of the beloved. And this is all secret and quiet. And it all goes on inside the head, anger quietly, but and then you have a little fight and things like that. And little kind of argument, it becomes an anger. Anger feels like guilt. Guilt makes you go back and love, hoping that loving and giving yourself to that person will make everything better. No, it doesn't. It makes you more of a slave. And that is all unconscious. And pretty soon, eventually, the codependence can cause you to give up everything. Give up your identity, everything. Throw everything away. And because what's the use? You begin to think to yourself. And all of a sudden, you become in a situation where people have to serve you. I won't serve that. And because I don't serve it, Jesus, we're beginning to wake up, see. She couldn't be sick in a better place than this house, because I waited for her for 63 years, waited. And now she's awaking, and we talk. as something brand new. So I don't know what I'm trying to say here, because I'm all over the place all of a sudden. But I want you to try to understand where I'm coming from. That it's not what you like about me and what you see about me and you don't like about me, because it's just two different kinds of people. One, people see that I'm coming from a good place, and therefore I can awaken you to the good place that you lost as a child. And those who hate me for this become worse and don't get any better. It's an effect I have on people.
Like a tunnel that you follow to a tunnel of its own, down a hollow to a cavern where the sun has never shone.
You're listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
Oh, hello. Here we are again. So now I've said my little piece in the beginning, which wasn't so coherent as I thought it was, but never mind. I'm a little tired this evening. I'm busy all day long with something. And my voice is not as good as it could be, but I love doing this work. I like to sit and talk with you, and I've got a caller right now, 800-866-8883. And the second chapter of my, just before I go to Dan here, this is the second chapter of a book I have, and it's called Surviving the Comfort Zone. And chapter 2 says this: have you noticed that the world is generally run by dull, stupid people? The more inferior a person is, the more likely he is to gravitate to a position of power to overcome his insecurity. And it is though society just can't do enough for its obsequious dummies, but must reward them with a position of authority, authority after authority, each generation greater than the last. At least that's the way the system works, as long as the dummy plays the game and keeps on trying to be all things to all people. Should he suddenly wake up and start to rock the boat, well, that's another story. This book was written in the early 60s, and it's 170 pages. It's called Surviving the Comfort Zone. I never mentioned this book, but because it's scary. So that's how the second chapter begins. And I will take my calls now. But it predicts, my books predict everything. So when you look at the date of the books that I've written, it's all the way from 1962, 63, and booklets too. And if you want the booklets, you can start with, you go to fhu.com and go to shop. And then you've got booklets and pamphlets. I think they have devised it. And you can read about a page or two and decide, no, I'll download this. You'll get the exact look. And you can actually, you put it on some nice paper and put some staples in it and put it in your pocket and carry it around with you and read it. Most of them are between 15 and 25 pages. FHU.com, go there. And get the meditation exercise to help you overcome the overcomer. And to overcome your disease. To overcome the problem you have with your family instead of making it worse. With your effort. And stop figuring things out. The more you try to figure things out, the worse it gets. Figuring things out is frustration. Because what you figure out is always goes wrong. And if it gets right, you get whoopee, and you get high. And pretty soon, because you're guessing it, and you got it right once, it doesn't mean to say it's going to be right all the time. And what you need to do is be right all the time. Not righteous, not self-righteous. What you need to do, I must say this in the beginning of the program, Become perfect. Listen to what Jesus says. Listen to him and me speaking to you. As you can hear me and recognize him and me, then the minute you recognize it, you have found. You recognize it and you're glad, or you recognize it and you're not glad. You hate me for it. That's the dark side. You may recover from that. You may not. But what I'm trying to say to you, recognize it in me. All I've done is brought you back to that little child state, but not back, but forward. Now you've got a big, strong body, and now you have immediately the light begins to shine on the self that you thought of as yourself, the thing, the phantom, the identity crisis that you have, or you didn't know you had. And it would make you doubt. It would make you think that its thoughts are your thoughts, and its thoughts are the same as every other person. Sorry. You have the same kind of self-righteousness if you're a pastor in a church. You get a sense of worth for the people loving you. And the feeling of power and the feeling of being a better person. But you're a bloody liar. That's what you are, basically. You don't know you're lying. You mean well, and all the people in your congregation mean well. And it's all good, but it's not good enough. You're Christians, but not Christian enough. That's why your country's going down. Because you've got thousands of different degrees of what Christianity is. You've got variations. There shouldn't be any variations. You should be the same. And let me just say it again simply. To one man, let me see, say it simply, is that it is the redemption of innocence. In other words, you have never really existed as you. Never mind how bold and strong you might be, as long as you've got anger and resentment and you have to put on a mask to be to business, no matter how successful you are, the more miserable you become and the more you want and the more it hurts you. Damned if you get it, damned if you don't, no matter what it is. But what it really boils down to is to become as a little child. But become again as a little child means you don't go back to being a little child. You discover what happened to you hating your parents. And the reason why this is good for you to find yourself standing in your parents' shoes. Because if you look very carefully, whether you want to be the best mother in the world, or father, or the worst, the best is not good enough, because you overdo, because what you think of as good for your children is to impose your goodwill on them, which is compelling them to extend what's in you, unbeknown to you, you're doing to the child. In other words, you think you're being a good mother or a good father, by being good, 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 and being sweet and nice, and making them dependent upon your approval. And so you get something out of that, but you don't realize you're programming your child to obey nice people that are not so nice at all. So you have one rebel and one conformist. One wants to run away. And you might chase that one that runs away and leave the other one sinking without mother. And you go to jail. The boy goes to jail, and you go to the jail trying to help him. He doesn't want to see you anymore. But you feel rejected. And the other one doesn't understand all this. It tries the best to please mother. And she doesn't. All kinds of variations with this. All kinds. So good is not so good as you think. So Jesus says, I'm going to take my call. And she said, Jesus says this, become perfect. And you can become perfect, but perfection is not what you think it is. Perfect means to become is a verb. Becoming is a verb or an adverb. It's a process. So every day you deal with trials and tribulations. If you found the innocence as a grown-up person that you lost as a child, and realize that your parents, likewise, and all the way back to paradise lost through one man's sin and death through sin spread through the human race. It spreads. So therefore, you didn't come into the existence the way Adam. You weren't made out of a mud pie and made into a human being and disobeyed. You come from that lineage through the women and men born of women. So what's wrong with a man born of woman? How else can he be born? He doesn't mean that. It's the nature of the man to look but to the woman to support the sense of worth, which is upside down. The woman should look to you, but you better find out what it is that you have to find redemption before you get married, because if you get married, you might never find it, or you may get suffering enough to turn to this program. Because I survived it, and I became a better person. My wife got worse, but now she's getting better. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's endurance. Endurance, marriage, everything. Endurance, no matter what it is. No anger, no frustration. You frustrate the frustrator. You can do this to your country. You can turn the stresses you are under into making you more perfect and more resolute to stand up for what you know is right and not be politically correct. Else you not be a person, let alone not a human, not American.
You're listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. You can reach Roy at 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
Okay, let's take. We got lots of calls. I'm sorry, but I've been babbling. I'm all over the place, but you got to get something out of it. It all comes together, no matter how many times I do it in different ways. I'm going to talk about one thing, and then all of a sudden I'm in another thing, but it's all connected. Just pick the piece, pick whatever piece there is that's valuable. There's a caller from London, England, and is my friend Heather. She calls very often, so. It's her nickel. So, hello, Heather, how are you doing?
Oh, hello, Uncle Roy. I am doing extremely well, thank you. And I just want to, towards the end of the last hour and at the beginning of this hour, you were talking about codependence.
Yes, I was.
And I know you speak about your wife and dementia. And I mentioned to you too before that's my mother's diagnosis. But I did want to say that I did try to call you a few weeks ago, and you weren't live at that time. Instead, I had some very nice conversations with my friend Wendy.
Oh, I see.
But, your Sunday conversation. When you spoke about political codependence,
yes,
and it was one of the most beautiful things I ever heard.
People could actually go to the archives and watch it anytime they want to.
Yeah, I've recommended it to some of my friends. And because for me it was the most beautiful summing up, it was exquisite.
So what goes on between husband and wife goes on between tyrant and victims.
And mother and daughter.
Yes, and mother and daughter. Yes.
And when I mean in that conversation, you spoke about spiritual space.
Yes.
And the kind of unhealthy space between people. And then the idea of the right space, the spiritual space.
Well, let me just stop you there for a second. My wife is a good person inside, but she was lost for a long time. And she expects from me to give her the kind of love that that she reads about, you know, or sees on TV. And so when she gives herself to me, I don't respond to give her anything that she expects. You know, in other words, she loves me, so I should love her back. It's all about her, and if it was me doing it, it'll be all about me, and who's going to usurp the other and trump the other who's in power. That's what becomes a power force. So I have learned a long time ago, from the day we were married, that there's a spiritual space between husband and wife, or brothers and friends, that there's a spiritual space that does not look to others to love you because you love them. You love them because you love them, and you don't expect them to love you back. You don't look for something back, see?
Yes.
So when my wife loves me, I don't give her back what she expects. I'm there. I try to correct her and to get to see it, but she's not ready to see it. And 63 years goes by, and she starts to throw her identity away, and bang. And she's can't do anything. But now here's the time where if she would have gone to a doctor or psychiatrist, they would not know what to do with her. They would put her away and embolden the sickness by kindness and niceness and doing good things for them and becoming slaves of her instead of her being a slave of them or me. So well, see that?
Yes, well, since I came to that understanding, I've listened to that particular Sunday conversation a couple of times now.
That's good.
It opens up so much.
It does everything.
And I can understand. In fact, my part in the way my mother is, because of the way I reacted to her so-called loving me. I understand now that she.
Well, what did you understand? Were you addicted to your mother and resented it? And did the resentment make you feel guilty and make you think, well, why my mother loves me? Why am I angry with her? So therefore, you make up to your mother, and the more you make up to your mother, the more power you give her, and the more she'll love you in a way that isn't healthy.
Exactly.
Reward you. See that?
Yes, and I just thought, I mean, this is the underlying reason why I became sick.
What was the sickness?
A depression.
Oh, yes.
This was the unhealthy codependence, and my anger, my hatred, because I wasn't free.
Saying to my wife is that, look, I want you to be a free spirit. I want you to be true to your Creator and love me. In other words, love me without expecting anything back, as I love you, not wanting anything back. In other words, it's natural to be who I am to whom they are. And you must do the same thing, not looking for a reward for your glorious love. It's just so natural. It's like breathing. And for me, to be with my wife is like breathing, except I'm a man and she's a woman, and therefore there's something about the women that needs to be disciplined. In other words, something unreasonable. Not dealing with reasonable things. I don't need to put her in a place. It's the unreasonable things that unconsciously looks for me to love the unreasonable that she doesn't understand is unreasonable. And who wants to admit they're wrong? So when you get married to a woman that needs the love of a husband, but the husband has to have the love of God in him to endure the backlash of the wife, because the misery and suffering of the world comes through the women and gives birth to the kind of men that need mama. See, and it goes, and what that doesn't help a woman who needs, who has the essence of Eve in her passing it through the generations. She, what deep down inside, what she doesn't know she needs is the kind of man that does loves the hell out of her by speaking up, say, put the fruit down, Eve. See, stop spending my money this way, Eve, and be firm. That's love. But they think that they, but in the beginning, they think that I'm, she thinks that I'm being mean. When she thinks I'm being mean, she gets upset. When she gets upset, she makes up to me, hoping that her love, which is fake, should be rewarded with love from me. No, that's never going to happen. Got it? And it doesn't matter to me. Now, here's the difficulty. It, in a sense, it doesn't matter to me whether she does sees it or not. It's my job to see to it that I am not broken by the assault on me in my marriage, because women can take a lot of advantages and get divorced and do all kinds of things and get people and tell them how bad I am and things like that. They do all that. What I learned to do in marriage is so important and so valuable and necessary for men to understand that a woman needs you to say no to her foolishness. You need to say no. You have to say no to a woman sometimes who wants to give you sex, and you need to say, not tonight, Josephine, because you can sense that once she wants a new fur coat or a car. You got it? You have to have the sense to see that. Not tonight, Josephine, not take advantage. Woo-hoo-hoo, here's to get some more sex. See that? Am I making sense?
Uncle Roy, you make perfect sense. And I thank God that I survived long enough. I mean, I went through the medical matrix. It was nothing to compared to what you've been through. But I went through it and survived. And I've survived long enough to be able to understand what is going on, what has been going on between me and my mum, and in the macrocosm, when you talk about politics and the world,
it's the same thing.
What's going on there?
Yeah, it's the same thing.
It's the same. It's the same spirit.
It's love hate relationship. Yes, codependence.
I thank you for that, because had I not been able to hear you, and you still being around after all these years, I don't like to think about where I would be.
Well, look, I do appreciate you, Heather, these other people calling now.
Of course.
I really do not stop you from calling, because you're always a delight.
Thank you.
God bless you.
Okay. Bye for now.
Thank you. We're going to go to Dan in California. Hello, Dan. Oh, is it Amelia? Is it Amelia? I'm sorry.
After?
Yes, I'm sorry. I was just looking at the screen, cockeyed. So here I am. Go ahead.
Good evening. I called you yesterday. You asked me to call you back, and I did do my meditation beforehand.
Yes.
And, it does make a huge difference. Even though I've been doing it for 20 years, I know that I probably slip off. I don't do it right when I do it.
Hold a second. Hold a second. We got you right near a break here. So I'll give it an opportunity. Can you wait for 3 or 4 minutes?
Sure.
Would you mind? Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You're listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. You can reach Roy at 1-800-866-8883. That's 1-800-866-8883.
Hi, this is David Masters, and I want to talk to you about supporting the work of my dad, Roy Masters. I think of the word gratitude, and I wonder how many of you have that sense or that feeling. The word actually means the quality of being thankful, readiness to show appreciation, and to return kindness. When you support the Foundation of Human Understanding, you're showing your gratitude. You're showing that you've been helped, and you're showing that that has value. Not only that, but you're thinking about future generations that will need to hear this message many years into the future. Remember, your donations are tax deductible, and they go to supporting this work on the radio, in the prison ministry, and for the military. To donate online, go to www.fhu.com/donate. That's fhu.com/donate. Or through the mail to P.O. Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon 97528. Gratitude. It will make all the difference in your life. It may seem that there's nothing you can do about stress, but you can instantly have more control than you might think. Roy Masters shows you how to conquer stress by taking charge of your thoughts, emotions, anxieties, and changing the way you react to problems. Do you realize that every time you think a negative thought, your body reacts as if it were in the grip of an actual tension-filled situation? Well, there is an antidote. Download the ebook, The Secret Power of Words by Roy Masters, on Kindle and Amazon.com. William Wolfe says, this book is perhaps the single most dynamic weapon available to counter the tremendously destructive influences of the raging cultural revolution sweeping the world. Download the ebook now at Amazon.com or read the ebook, Meaning and Happiness, Overcoming Stress, Fear, and Pain. Download at Amazon.com on Kindle. In fact, there are many more titles by Roy Masters available for instant download right now at Amazon.com. Just search Roy Masters on Kindle and Amazon.com to positively change your life right now.
Discover an easy and simple drug-free antidote to overcome alcoholism, drugs, smoking, and other various addictions with a simple app. Discover Cure Stress. With the Cure Stress app, you can begin to walk away from addiction in just 7 minutes. And this 7-minute technique is free on the Cure Stress app. Break the endless loop of negative thoughts. Improve how you interact with people at work or at home with the Cure Stress app. You can finally heal from past traumatic events or resolve relationship difficulties. It can even help you cope with post-traumatic stress disorder or PTSD. And it only takes 7 minutes, free, with the Cure Stress app. Change your life without effort and in the comfort and privacy of your home in just 7 minutes with the Cure Stress app. Free and available now on Apple App Store and Android Google Play. Finally, cure stress with the Cure Stress app.
Are you suffering with PTSD after being in the military? You should see what people are saying about Roy Masters online.
In my experience as a commander who mobilized and returned thousands of wartime veterans, I have seen soldiers make rapid improvement through the use of Be Still and Know. Major General George R. Harris.
Google Roy Masters PTSD. You'll see what I mean.
The Be Still and Know exercise works for me. It calms my soul, enhances my thinking, and improves my emotional regulation. I'm thankful to be a more resilient chaplain, Lieutenant Colonel Philip Pringle, Southern Baptist.
Go online and Google Roy Masters now. You'll be amazed at what you find.
I must say, on the basis of 20 years' experience, that the application of this exercise has made a significant contribution to the treatment of the great majority of those who have used it. Dr. George Hader, diplomat of the American Board of Psychiatry and Neurology.
You need to see what people have to say about Roy Masters online. On your computer, tablet, or even your smartphone. Go online and search for...
...in your pocket, worth the jangle in your head. Why did summer go so quickly? Was it something that you said?
You're listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
Amelia, you're back.
Yes.
And now, give me the update.
Well, I was talking to you last night about some cruelty that I suffer with my spouse. And and as you described to me Jesus' crucifixion, I have realized for the past few months that in my since my childhood up until now that I'm actually 52, I have failed every test I've been put through that I've basically been crucified so many times over and over. And I have failed, unlike Jesus, to overcome it because I have resented it and I have suffered dearly as a result, and and I'm still suffering because it seems like my husband takes deep pleasure in
I remember your husband's angry and I said you're feeding him.
with your submission.
It's a very sick way that he enjoys.
But you do realize you're feeding him in your weakness for approval.
I am.
Because you want peace and there is no peace. There is no peace that way.
Because I do the dance, you know, I will go for like sometimes even a couple of months without really even, how should I say, focusing on him at all and just moving forward. And then he seems to change and I forget all about it and I act like, you know.
You mean he appears to change for the better? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, he appears to be very...
Yeah, you don't want to fall for that. You don't want to fall for it. That's another game. That's built in, a game is built into a tyrant to change from nice to from angry to good. And you say, oh, goody, goody, my love has actually helped him. And you and so therefore you're fooled again.
Yes, I do over and over and over. And however, at the same time, I am succeeding in my independence, running a business that my son can be involved because I homeschool him. You met him at the seminar in L.A., and he's beautiful. He's learning so much and just all of his own will. He
That's good.
Volunteers.
But let's go back to you. Let's go back to you. Are you going to stand your ground? And there are two things, since you brought it up, that you have to watch very carefully from a bully who does not know he's a bully. He doesn't see it. He sees it that you are depriving him of his right for love, to fulfill him, like God. In other words,
exactly.
That's right. So therefore, you must expect, no matter what, whichever way you go, the better way is to understand this, that he cannot help but be a bully, and that the only person around that he could bully is you and the kids, and you need to understand that he doesn't understand it. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. So your job is to get him to know what he's doing. But if he can project his sickness on you and you go along and put pressure on you and upset you so that you end up giving in to him out of guilt, because you are driven by guilt to give him, to shut him up. But it doesn't shut him up. It feeds. It makes him, it's like a little kid in the grocery store. The little kid's crying, I want this, I want this. And he points to something, and everybody's looking at the mother, and mother feels embarrassed, and eventually she gets upset and gives him what he wants, and then he throws it down, and he wants something else. And it goes on like that. What he wants is to be stopped. What your husband needs is to be stopped. How do you do it? You're a woman. How do you stop it? You need the strength of God in you. And when you have that, which you can have, men are not the only people that can have that. Women need it too. And for a season, when that nature comes into you, you can hold your ground and not worry about what's going to happen next. Two things will happen. It will stop him dead, and he'll think about it and say, you know what, you're right. Or he will go, he will ratchet it up and try harder, to which you will respond again and again, 10 times, 20 times, 100 times. You will still not react, and you can speak. If the Spirit moves you to speak, you will. Otherwise, you've got nothing to say unless it comes out as it should through you to him. And so what happens is he needs your reaction, and when he doesn't get it, he wears himself out while you get stronger in your relationship with God. His gets weaker in his relationship with hell, or more powerful, be involved with hell until he dies. It is a life and death situation when you mess with a real person, like a Jesus. So you have to have his quality. Endure. Endurance. Endless endurance. No anger, no hostility, but standing, holding ground, and making the moves that are necessary, but not figured out. by yours truly.
What's on your mind? Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
Okay, so can you put a little commercial on for David so I can...
Hi, this is David Masters, and I want to talk to you about supporting the work of my dad, Roy Masters. I think of the word gratitude, and I wonder how many of you have that sense or that feeling. The word actually means the quality of being thankful, readiness to show appreciation, and to return kindness. When you support the Foundation of Human Understanding, you're showing your gratitude. You're showing that you've been helped, and you're showing that that has value. Not only that, but you're thinking about future generations that will need to hear this message many years into the future. Remember, your donations are tax deductible, and they go to supporting this work on the radio, in the prison ministry, and for the military. To donate online, go to www.fhu.com/donate. That's fhu.com/donate. Or through the mail to P.O. Box 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon 97528. Gratitude. It will make all the difference in your life.
Yes, Amelia, you have to endure with a light heart, understanding that the person before you who's condemning you, whether they are psychopathic or just broken people acting out that behavior, whereby you can relieve him of it by such a means, it also applies to psychopaths who enjoy your cutting your head off and torturing you. However,
does.
I see that. So you will meet all kinds as the country goes into a decline. You've got more and more appeasers controlled by smaller a number of teasers. If you see what I'm seeing.
Yes, I just have to keep a distance consistently, a distance.
That you have to put a space between them.
Yeah.
Yes, that space.
He's threatened by the space that I put between us, and he hates it. And
that is a good. Let him be threatened. Don't let him see that space inside you is a link. Is a perfect link to your Creator, just like you have an imperfect link to the spirit of the world. You're dealing with the spirit of the world with the spirit that created the world and the universe. And so you need a relationship which is just as a black and white. One is dark, so therefore you're subject, but you're helpless before temptations to which you must yield in order to have any life at all, but that's not life. It leads to death. But the point is, you see what I'm saying? So you need to have that quality. It doesn't cost you any more to change sides. But the trouble, the problem is with Christians, they don't know where that place is to cross. You go to church. It's not in the church.
I don't go to church.
It's not in the church. It's not in the preacher. It's not in Roy Masters either. I'm a witness to it. That's all. And so
I don't know what to expect every time I walk through the door, because sometimes it's horrible.
No, it doesn't matter. You expect the unexpected. You don't get it. Stop. Stop for a second. Stop. Expect the unexpected and do the same thing. And you see how powerful it is. No longer are you going to be a victim. He becomes the victim. He'll make himself the victim no matter how much. Have you ever seen the movies like the Bridge on the River Kwai, I forget who played the part, but the commanding officer, how he dealt with the Japanese person in the prison camp, how he dealt with it with authority, and he overcame him. See, even that no matter what he did, no matter how much he stood up, no matter how much he got punished, he held the ground. He held his ground. Of course, it wasn't perfect, but it's a perfect example of how it should be, but it's still not perfect enough. There's one step further. Not just to be brave and to have all your troops loving you and respecting you and cheering you. That's it. No, it's much deeper than that. It's that you're not brave at all. The person that's messing with you is not messing with you, messing with who's in you. That's the difference.
I get spat at. I get pushed, thrown, all kinds of things, Mr. Master. I don't hate him.
But you forgot. You're in that state. You're in that state that is part and parcel. You're part of his problem. Mm-hmm. In other words, you are feeding yourself to him.
I know.
And for a little bit of peace, and it becomes less and less peaceful. And pretty soon you're going to have to give your whole self or run away or go crazy.
I already went through that once before, and I don't want to. That's why I am seeking you out this time.
Yeah, but sticking it out, I don't want you to stick it out. I want you to have in you, so it doesn't touch you. I have been in situations, no matter, I can't tell you, I don't want to do it now because I've got a whole list of stories, a laundry list. But I've learned, no matter what the situation is, how dangerous it is, I would tell some stories. I have to tell some stories sometime. I don't want to sound like I'm bragging. That's the only thing. So hold my ground, not even notice that I'm being assaulted. Not even noticing, not feeling anything. It shocks the person into submission, to go crazy. And my relationship with my Creator is strengthened, and his is weakened. Or if not weakened, he's more determined to fight me and to be angry, and it will kill him. He goes closer to hell. We're going to go, Dan. We've got about 7 minutes, 8 minutes, so you've got a nice opportunity to say whatever you want. Is blood pressure?
Yeah, Roy, my blood pressure right now is about 160 over 100. I really, it feels like fear in my gut.
Yeah, that's it. And see, so which comes first, the chicken or the egg?
I'm not sure.
Okay, let me tell you this.
The chicken.
The chicken.
You mean, as far as the blood pressure is concerned,
yeah,
and the fear feeling?
That's right. Again,
I started...
It's all about you. It's all about you. You're in fear of life. And the only body you know is the physical body, and you don't know about the spiritual body that is not in you yet. What you've got is a dark body, a dark soul, a sort of a semi-imitation of what is bright. See, it's there. And it's there because of your angers and hostilities and resentments, your inability to deal. In other words, it's called sin. Or the sin is simply a continuum. It's a hypnotic continuum of misery and suffering, of reacting the same way, and then not only reacting the same way for real things, but reacting the same way to things that look like and smell like it and have the color of it and have the circumstance of it. So there's really nothing there to keep you upset, but it keeps upsetting you more and more and demoralizing you and screwing with your thoughts and your blood pressure. But not just your blood pressure, it's your mind. It's your immune system. It's your chemistry. Everything goes crazy. It what you that
You're not created to be, live like an animal reacting to other animals called humans. This is nothing new. This is you. You're worried about your life, your body, and you're getting sick, and you've lost all your faith, and you're looking to the doctors to save you. Well, the only good thing about that is if they take a piece out of you, and it does save you, and you live with one lung, maybe with one lung you'll see that you didn't need that. The only reason why you needed it because you had no faith. And you don't know what the faith is, so you may have to go through that operation.
Like a circle in a spiral, like a wheel within a wheel, never ending or beginning, on an ever spinning reel.
You're listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
Hey, Dan, I want to just give you one thing. I used to be I'm still a strong guy. So let me say that. But I used to be, when I was, 50, I think. I'm much older now. It's about 40 years ago. I had a house on swimming, I have a house on the water. And there was a leakage in the, what they call it, the plant that
picked up the amoeba. I know the
yeah, story. That's it. That's it.
I memorized.
Yeah, the thing is, so I'm not guilty of anything here, but I'm not able to eat anything for 4 years, and that thing was eating away at me, and no doctors could figure it out. Not even the doctor who befriended me and gave me the whole pile of books on top of that. Was a little Merck manual, little booklet that said parasite. I went to the doctor, and he says, you could be right. We couldn't find anything. And he said, so I told him what medicine to give me, and he gave it to me, and bang, 3 or 4 days later, I'm better, but I got diabetes. I need a heart operation. No, to go forward. During all that 4 years, I didn't flinch. It was troublesome. I couldn't eat properly, but I did my work. Nothing touched me. Nothing. But eventually it led to that. That didn't bother me either. And so I went. So I had to go through it. I needed to have an operation, and I had. The operation was. For my heart.
You regrew the arteries, right?
Yes.
I know.
Yeah, but what I'm trying to get to you, so when the doctor says I'm going to give you, I got good news and bad news, which you want first? I said, give me the bad news. He says, your operation failed. Okay? I said, okay. That didn't bother me. And then he says, well then, I said, what's the other one? He says, you grew new arteries. I didn't get excited either. I said, that's neat. The whole thing is culminated in me understanding calmness and faith, which I didn't know I had. And it's been going ever since. Ever since. And I've been in this medical system just like everybody else. Three times, and they couldn't find anything wrong. Every time they do, they couldn't find it, but it was something was killing me. Something is, guess what? So they give me what they found was what they really found out is that because of my various operations, I had too much acid in my intestines, so. What's happening is that it turns into gas and it has no way out, up or down. And it pressures the heart and it looks like it's a heart attack. And your blood pressure goes right through the roof. And so what
So what they did, they gave me antacids, little pills, the special ones, the slow release. But that is okay, but it's still not very good. Guess what I finally did? It helped a little bit. And I'm still with the doctors. But I'm learning as I'm going along. What I discovered was baking soda. So I had a broken toe. You know, I was bleeding, and I went to the emergency care. There's a very good doctor there. And we got talking about this. He says, well, baking soda. If you take that, it will take this acid and turn it into water. Now that stuck with me. And so now I come out of hospital, almost died, and I'm taking these pills, and I remember that. And these pills were antacid, slow release. Come to take it, what is better now and better for me is to find out what the dose of baking soda is in water, which I'm doing right now. I wouldn't be sitting here if I didn't see that. So in other words, baking soda was... But I have to measure how much do I really need. I don't want the acid in my stomach to turn to water. So I'm experimenting with myself. In other words, intuitively, I'm learning things more than doctors know. And I'm getting better from just intuition and just holding my ground. All I did was hold my ground. But what I found in the long run, it wasn't me that was giving me the power to hold my ground, to stand up against a cult leader with all these drug addict friends, the gang, and make them all run away. That's all part of my life. It didn't move. And then I realized, why? How is it I'm different from everybody else since a little boy? It took a while. And then all of a sudden one day, the story is too big. I realized, oh my God, everybody's trying to talk to me about Jesus. That's who you are. That's who you are in me, keeping me from overreacting, and so that my life is with you and not with people who try to pull me away from you by overreacting, by hating the person, hating the hurter. See, I don't hate the hurter. I'm not afraid of the next moment. Whereas I'm not afraid for myself, because deep down inside, I see the magic I have to go through, the trials, the tribulations, whatever they happen to me, that was my lot. And so you need to do the same bloody thing. You understand that?
Roy, please don't give
up. Now, you know what? You're just a gutless wonder. And that's my last words to you. Don't call again. Gutless wonder. Okay. Sorry about that. I never do that as a rule, but he's talked to me about 5 or 6 times, and it's still the same thing. Nope. All right. I'm sorry about that, but I know I'm not just the ordinary preacher, if you don't mind. I'm just Roy Masters, and I'd like you to support the program, would you please? I'm not getting a paycheck, so don't worry. We've got to go through these difficult times. I know it will come in. If it's in your heart, please. If you like what I'm saying, some things you may not like, some things you do like, but it all goes down to one thing, learning how to be still and let the light come through you and shine on the darkness of your soul and the light on the other people are trying to make a fool of you, and they cannot, and they become a better person or worse, and it shouldn't matter to you what happens to them. You just do it. FHU.com/donate.